That first song, I want y'all to sing it when I finish preaching. It's amazing how God does things. They didn't know what I was preaching, and I didn't know what they were singing. But it's amazing how God does it every time. Amen. If you have your Bibles, take your Bible. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. If you're looking in the New Testament, you're in the wrong book. It's one of them chapters we hear about a lot, but we don't read about it a lot. Amen. The wisest man to ever live wrote it. That's a good indication that we need to read it. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, when you get there, let's stand. I'm going to read one verse, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Look at verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another opportunity to stand and proclaim your word, God. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to be together with our church family on a Wednesday night, God. Thank you for another opportunity, God, Lord, that you've given us to come and worship you and honor you and glorify you, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, that you've given us tonight, God, to get on this altar and pray, God. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Right now, God, help us right now, Lord, as we open up your word. I pray, God, you'd help us to do our very best in the next few minutes to preach what you would have us to preach, not what I want, not what we want, God, but what Jesus wants tonight. And whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In light of the things that's happened over the last few weeks as far as our government and things that are going on as far as pardons being handed out, if we're not careful, we can look and think that, well, the sinners are prospering. It's real easy to look and say, well, those that's doing evil, those that's living evil, they're the ones prospering. And it seems like the good people are being ridiculed. The good people are being scrutinized and talked about and run down. And it's like the world's gone crazy. Amen. And if we ain't careful, we as Christians can fall right into that kind of stuff. I was thinking about this today. I remember back in 1987, there was an accident with Amtrak where the conductor was drunk and he ran that train into a freight train, killed a bunch of people, and he only served 5 years. If we ain't careful, we get our minds on the wrong thing. How many of y'all remember about in Kentucky a few years ago, a drunk driver hit a church activity bus, killing all 27 people on the bus and had a light sentence, and he's out of prison now. Even though we look around and we see what we think are injustices, and they are, and we wonder why sometimes, if we ain't careful, we start questioning, Lord, why is all this going on? And maybe you're here tonight and you're going through something tonight and you're wondering, why am I going through this? And I'm checking all the boxes. I'm doing my best to line up with the Word of God, and I'm trying to do the best that I can. And I you know, as far as I know, there's nothing between me and the Lord. And even though, let me say, bad times happen. That's life, amen? That's life. I want to tell you right now, it's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. It's going to be all right. Amen. It's going to be all right. And let me, I want you to, looking at this passage of Scripture, I want you to kind of think about, let's look at some of the problems that we have to deal with, some of the problems that bother us. Verse 12 reminds us of the age-old question that's plagued man since the beginning of time. Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? I'll never forget. I told you this before. I remember David riding down the road one day, and I was thinking, you know, and God, I think I was still actually, we were living in Conway, and, you know, the Lord blessed us, and we had a nice home, and God had blessed us, and I got to thinking about, you know, all these people riding around in brand new trucks, and all these people with big old houses, and it seemed like they just got all the blessings on them, and it was like the Lord spoke to me one day, said, yep, and if they don't get right with me, this is all they're going to ever have. We need to get our eyes back on where our eyes need to be. We all face these problems. Verse 14 in chapter 8 tells us, where there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. The preacher, as he was writing this down, he was contemplating the same stuff you and I contemplate. You look at it, it's kind of the focus of the book of Job. Job's friends concluded that that the righteous don't suffer. Job's friends concluded that Job was going through suffering because he had sinned. And we understand from studying the book of Job, understand something. We understand this. Just because something bad happens don't mean there's sin involved. Sometimes there is. Sometimes. But let me just throw this out there. I see a lot of people on the internet and a lot of people on Facebook talking about the wildfires out in California, about how that Sodom and Gomorrah and how they're getting judgment on them. Let me go ahead and tell you, y'all don't remember sometimes we've had wildfires around here. It ain't all, it's not always, and I'm not saying it's not God's judgment. I'm just saying that's not mine and your call. Just because something bad happens don't mean that it ain't our call, it's God's call. So the best thing you and I can do is just pray for the Lord's will to be done and pray for those folks out in California. Amen. We need to pray for the folks up in North Carolina. We need to pray for folks in our area that's suffering and going through hard times. It's also the focus of Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, Asaph is nearly to the point of giving up as he witnesses the prosperity of the wicked and the trials of the righteous. Psalm 73, verse 1 through 3 says this, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. These are godly people. This is somebody I get thinking about, Brother Ralph, that wrote part of the Bible. That's another proof right there, Donald Boone, that this here Bible was written by God. Because I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't write something in there like that about me. If I'm telling you my story, I'm telling you all the good stuff. I'm telling you all the rosy stuff. I'm telling you all the triumph I had. I'm not going to tell you how weak I was, and I'm not going to tell you about the sin that I committed. That tells me that this is God's book. Psalms 37 also deals with the same problem Psalms 49 deals with. In fact, it's God's people don't suffer. Sometimes you got to understand, everything happens for a reason. And the problem is a lot of times it's because of suffering that some quit serving the Lord. I'll never forget, I was listening to E.V. Hill one time, old black preacher. And he said something to the effect of this. He said, when hard times come, I realize hard times is coming because I read my Bible. The Bible says that we're going to be persecuted. The Bible says we're going to suffer things. Understand something? You got to understand something. The man that wrote most of the New Testament wrote a lot of the New Testament in jail. The Apostle Paul. A lot of the New Testament was written in jail, in chains, and being dictated to somebody that could write it down. Understand? And just because some bad, I've known people that come to this church. I've known people that went to the church that I went to in Conway. They were good Christians as long as everything was going good. Let me tell you something. Being a Christian is the greatest thing you can do. has great benefits, amen. Glory to God. We get to think about salvation. We get to think about forgiveness of sin. We get to think about our security as believers. We get to thinking about how that we can get on our knees and we call out on the God of heaven and we have prayers answered. We get to think about how good God's been to us. And we talked about a while ago about Sister Heather. Just last week it wasn't looking good. Now she's home. Glory to God. Hey, there are some great benefits to being saved, amen. But if we ain't careful when the trials of life start multiplying, we can get down. How many of us would still be in church if we were like Brother Charlie, been dealing with something for 14, 15, 16 weeks? Well, why ain't God answered this prayer? Go back to what Brother Ralph and Miss Allison, his ways is higher than mine. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 2, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 23, for all his days are sorrow and travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest by night. This is also vanity. If we're not careful, we'll come to the place of saying, I am wasting my time being a Christian. I am wasting my time. All this is just a big mistake. Understand something, that's not all just a big mistake. There ain't no accidents. There's no accidents. Everything, God's got his hand on everything. God's got his hand moving in everything you and I do, amen? You understand? I kind of read a little funny story today about this. Said this old cowboy had come in, and he was asking, trying to get some insurance. And the guy said, well, hey, have you ever had any accidents? He said, well, after thinking about it, he said, no, I never had any accidents. He said, everything's all right. I said, yes. I said, you ain't never had nothing bad happen? He said, well, I had a bucking horse one time throw me and broke my arm. He said, one time I was out in the brush, and he said, a rattlesnake bit me. He said, man, I said, you don't think that's an accident? I said, no, he did it on purpose. There ain't no accidents, folks. It wasn't no accident that I got shot. I believe that was all in God's plan. Amen? It wasn't no accident that things happened in our lives. Because let me tell you something. I can look back. David can look back. Tony can look back. Mike can look back. Brother Skip can look back. And we can see when bad things happen, how that God starts moving. It's like God's got a big chessboard up there. And God's putting this piece there and putting this piece there. And he's working it out. Amen? John chapter 16 verse 33 says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's the problem that we all face. That's life. And let me go ahead and tell you something. If you live long enough, you're going to face more problems. If we live long enough, we're going to face more sickness. If we live long enough, we're going to face more troubles and trials. Understand, that is a given. I told y'all before, you know, when I got saved, it shocked me. They sent that electrical bill to my house. I'm a Christian. You ain't supposed to be sending me stuff like that. I'm saved. I shouldn't have no bills. Let me tell you something. You need to go to Joel Osteen's church if that's the way you think. Come on. Life's life. We were talking about this the other night in Bible Institute. Somebody that commits murder, and they go to prison, and they get saved in prison, that don't wipe out what they did. You still have to pay. Amen? Christians still have to pay. Some of the things we're going through is our fault. Some of the things we've gone through is somebody else's fault. And some of the things we're going through is because God said, I'm going to let you go through that so I can teach you a lesson. Amen. The problems that we all face. Now let's look at the promises that God's give us. Amen. The Lord is telling us that even though the wicked seem to be prospering and the righteous suffer, things will work out for those that love the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together to good to them that love the Lord, love God, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. I remember hearing a story about a man that kind of fell on hard times, and he became homeless. And he was drying up to nothing just about, and didn't have anything to eat. And one day he would walk by the same place every day, trying to find something to eat. He'd go by the same office building every day, trying to find something to eat. And the owner of this business, God had blessed him, and he kept seeing this guy walk down the street. And God got to dealing with him, and God got to talking to him. And he had a bag full of money, had a bag full of change. And one day when this guy was walking down past his street, he just kind of tossed the money out, Jackie, and hit the guy. Well, it was so heavy it knocked him down. Guy got a little upset about something hit him. He gets up and figures out what it was, and then he wasn't quite as upset as he thought he was. Because he realized just because something knocks you down don't mean it ain't good for you. Just because God gets our attention every once in a while don't mean it ain't good for us. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, sometimes I'm going to go back to the song Brother Ralph sung and Miss Alice. His ways are higher than mine. How many times have we almost give up on the Lord? And there at the last second, Chucky, we see God's hand move. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Let me prove it to you by the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18 says this, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's working it out. God's trying to get us where he wants us to be. I play checkers. I don't play chess. I ain't smart enough to play chess. Never tried to learn it, I guess. But I like checkers, amen? And I really like playing checkers when them grandkids were little and I could whoop the fire out of them. You ever played, y'all know what I'm getting ready to say, you ever played checkers or chess or a board game with somebody that you knew that you could whip them? Don't laugh too much, huh? Brother Jackie, when you do that, you're planning two and three steps ahead because you know they're concentrating on that one little thing right there. But you've already got the next move and the next move and the next move planned. Well, if they go here, I'm going there, 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 and there. That's what God's looking at your life like. You are the one, and I hate to say it like this, you're no match for God. You're nowhere near as smart as God. God's the one up there looking down. God's already got, I talk about three steps ahead. God's already got every step already planned out. He's already got next year planned out. He's already got the year after that and the year after that and the year after that planned out. He already knows where you're going. He just wants you to catch up with it and trust him. Amen. God's got a plan. Now, there are areas of our life that the devil's going to fight. Amen? Just go ahead and... The devil will tell you you're wasting your time. I know the devil ain't ever told none of y'all that. The devil's the one that likes to multiply our trials. When the burdens of life start piling up, that's when the devil comes in and the devil tell you, they don't nobody care about you. They don't nobody love you. They don't nobody care about you. And if we ain't careful, and let me tell you, let me go, sometimes that ain't even got to be the case, Mike. Sometimes the devil just jumps on you, and you know the church family loves you. You know your pastor loves you, and the devil jumps on you anyhow. Listen, I found this little story. This thing tore my heart out when I read this today, so you pray for me as I try to read this and just listen. A pastor whose son had committed suicide stood up to preach the sermon just a few days later. The text he chose was Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work to good to them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. After reading the passage aloud and standing there for several minutes trying to compose himself, this is what he said: I cannot make my son's suicide fit into this passage. It's impossible for me to see how anything good can come out of it. Yet I realize I only see in part and I only know in part. It's like the miracle of a shipyard. Almost every part of our great ocean-going vessels are made of steel. If you take any single part, be it a steel plate out of the hull or a huge rudder, and throw it in the ocean, it will sink. Steel don't float. But when the shipbuilder's finished, and when the last plate's been riveted into place or welded into place, that massive ship is almost unsinkable. Taken by itself, he said, my son's suicide don't make sense. But you throw it into the sea of Romans 8:28, and it sinks. Still, I believe that when the eternal shipbuilder has finally finished, when God's worked out his perfect design, even this senseless tragedy will somehow work to our eternal good. Do you trust God like that? That's a powerful question right there. Do you trust God like that? That kind of a tragedy, Grant, could destroy somebody. We know the story of the man that wrote, It Is Well With My Soul, how that he lost his whole family in a shipwreck. And as they were going, he was traveling back to go to the funeral. As they got there, he asked the captain of the ship, when you get to that spot, let me know. And when they got to that spot, they let him know. And he stood on that spot where his wife and kids had went down. And he had, and not long after that, he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. That's trusting God. That's knowing that God's working it out. That's knowing that God's got all the pieces in place. That's knowing that what God is working, it's working to my good. It might not look good now, but God's still working it to my good. Amen. See, the devil will tell you, you're wasting your time. But God's trying to work it out. How about the area of your salvation? I know the devil ain't never told none of y'all that you ain't saved. I'll be honest with you. That's something I battle with a lot. Devil comes. If you were saved, you wouldn't think them kind of thoughts. If you were saved, you wouldn't have them thoughts in your mind. I go back to the scripture. Amen. I always go back to the scripture. If you've ever trusted the Lord and you've ever got down on your knees and asked God to forgive you, guess what? You saved. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. It's got everything to do with what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Now, I understand we got to do our very best to live right. But the Bible says in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. It's going to be all right. I'm still saved. I don't care what the devil's got to say. Amen. But you let the devil get in your mind, he'll whip you up one side and down the other. But I'm saved. How about in the area of the church? The devil come to you and the devil talk to you about church people, amen? Well, the church is failing. I'm telling you right now, you look at the world and the church is failing. You look at the world and the devil will tell you, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. But you know what the Bible said? Jesus said that the gates of hell couldn't prevail against the church. Amen. Don't listen to the devil. Amen. Did the devil ever talk to you about your future? What's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Jesus is going to take care of me. Amen. Amen. That ought to be my main concern. Amen. Jesus is going to take care of me. He's already said he would. Amen. He's already given me that assurance. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You might be going through a hard time right now, but it's going to be all right. You might be going through a hard time physically, but it's going to be all right. I like what comedian, one Christian comedian said something. Said, you know, the Bible said one of his favorite verses was, it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. It came to pass. He said, it's going to pass, or you're going to pass one of the two. Amen. But it's going to be all right on this side or the other side. Listen now. J.W. Barnum said this. Sorrow and temptations or trials can lead us into four different lands. The barren land, which we try to escape from it. The broken land, in which we sink under it, the bitter land in which we resent it, or the better land in which we bear it and we become blessings to other people. If you go back, I guarantee you, Brother David would not want to have to go through his house being caught on fire. But I guarantee if you talk to David, David can tell you some good things that come out of that. It wasn't good. It was just a bad situation. If you go back, Brother Skip wouldn't want to have to go back through what Sister Sandy went through with that artery being stopped up. But God worked it out. Amen? How you deal with it is what God's looking at. Brother Ralph, y'all come on. I read a story.